Arise is a platform where God is raising an army of men that knows God, loves God, and live their lives in the light of God's purpose.
Welcome to Arise Shine Christian Network.
Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the fellowship tonight. Thank you for coming. I pray that the Lord will do us good tonight in the name of Jesus. We started a series last week, and I would not have so much time this evening to do recap at all. So I just want to plead with every one of us to go on our YouTube page and listen to the part one, because there is a lot to cover, there is a lot to do. I'm even sure that we cannot finish it tonight, because I will not want us to stay more than necessary. Are we together now? But I like that you pay attention tonight and open your heart. The subject we are considering and the Lord is unveiling to us is very important, because if we ignore this, very soon we will be frustrated in our kingdom, in our Christian experience. And that's why, by the mercies of the Lord, is bringing our way at this time this subject. The way I know what God is about to do is what God is saying. I have learned that wherever the word of the Lord is going, that is where the act of the Lord is going. So when God is talking about healing, it's because he wants to rock the work of healing. When the Lord is talking about deliverance, is because he wants to wrought a word of deliverance. When God called forth light, the mountain did not show up. It was light that came forth. So whatever God says is what is about to happen. And I like that you pay attention even in your own life. Whatever God is emphasizing to you at every point in time must be a sign to you to know that is what God is doing or about to do as touching your life. So if God has kept us this long, 5 years, 6 months, before he brings us into the reality of this truth, it is because he has ordained that at this time, we enter into the reality of this. We did a little introduction last week, considering a lot of things, the lies, started with stories, telling us two stories of people who are in the kingdom who doesn't know what belongs to them in the kingdom, and as a result of that, they suffer and lack. We look at the effect of poverty on men and on territory, and we look at the common lies about wealth and prosperity. And by the way, the topic that we are considering is kingdom wealth system. And this is the part two of it. So I'm just going to move immediately. Let me start again tonight, like I did last week, with a story. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 from verse 13, NLT, will help me tell my story clearly. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse 13. Are we together now? If you are with me, say amen. I like that you pay attention. My story is projected. I'm reading all the way to verse 16. It said, here is another bit of wisdom. Solomon is speaking. Solomon is a man who has had access to wisdom and wealth. And as a result of this exposure to these realities, is bringing wisdom to the sons of men, those who cares to listen. And so Solomon is going to tell a story. That is the story I'm going to tell you tonight. He said, here is another bit of wisdom that has impressed me as I watch the way our world works. Do you notice what he's saying? He has watched the way our world works. And so he's bringing up the wisdom to us there. And he wants us to consider. Next verse. He said, there was a small town. The stories are started now. There was a small town with a few people. And a great king came with his army to besiege this town. Are we together? Next verse. He said, a poor wise man knew how to save the town, and so it was rescued. But afterward, no one thought to thank him. Now, the summary of the story is that there was a small town that is helpless and vulnerable. And one day, a great king over a great city besieged this town with his army to destroy the town and to make everybody who is there a slave and make them lose their properties. But in this small town, there is a man that is wise. But the Bible says this man is not only wise, but this man is also poor. A poor, wise man. By the wisdom of this man, he was able to divine a means to rescue this city from the destruction that the king from the great city is bringing to it. But watch what happened. He said, after he rescued the town, he said, nobody thought to thank him. He brought a great deliverance. What would have been the end of the existence of that town? This man, by his wisdom, brought it about. He brought a rescue not only to the people, but to the sanity of the town. But the Bible says, no one thought to thank him. Here is the moral of the story. Next verse. He now said, so, even though wisdom is better than strength. Listen carefully. Wisdom is better than strength. Look at the next thing it says. Those who are wise will be despised if they are poor. Are we reading the scripture together? He said, wisdom is better than strength. The Bible said to us in the book of Proverbs, it said, wisdom is the principal things. It said, in all your gettings, get wisdom. But the Bible is telling us here again. It said, even though wisdom is better, wisdom is of importance. He said, but the wisdom of a poor man is despised. Wisdom is better. Anointing is better, but the anointing of a poor man is despised. Good words is better. Advice and counsel from a wise man is good, but the counsel of a poor man is despised. Solomon is speaking to us here. That much in all that we get, do not ignore the place of riches. I did told us last week that wealth and prosperity is not evil in themselves. Please work on this sound. Please. Wealth and prosperity is not evil in themselves. As a matter of fact, it helps us and amplify the grace of God upon the believer. So God is not against our wealth. God is not against our prosperity. Second scripture. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Don't forget the words of Solomon. This is another word from the wise man Solomon. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. I want us all to read this. You read it for me. And then I'll read it. And we'll teach. Are we ready now? Is projected, I believe, everyone with a loud voice. One, two, go. I can't hear you. Start all over again. Clear your throat with a loud voice. One, two, go. Read it again. Do you notice that the rich rules over the poor? It means the rich Christian rules over the poor Christians. Are we together now? The rich unbelievers rules over the poor believers. The rich country rules over the poor country. It's a law. It's not an anomaly. Everywhere you see the rich, underneath them are those who are called the poor. The rich rules over the poor. It's not a prayer point. It's not something you are going to pray about and say, I am poor, but make sure no rich rules over me. No, sir. It's a law of the spirit. The moment you are poor, you are underneath the ruling of the rich. So the way to escape being a slave is to graduate to the place where they rule. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the servant to the lender. This is very practical. Even as you are seated here and you are working in an organization, if your supervisor or your boss says that on Sunday you have to be at work by 8 o'clock, no matter how anointed you are, even if you are the pastor that will conduct the service in your church, except you want to leave that job, you would have to go to church. The rich rules over the poor. Whosoever feed you controls you. Whosoever pays your bills controls your life. It's a law. The poor has no choice than to submit to the rulership of the rich. It's not a prayer point. The rich Christian will be a ruler. The poor Christian will be a slave. The rich unbeliever will be a ruler. The poor unbeliever will be a slave. It's a law of the spirit. The rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is servant to the lender. And God desires that believers, we will not be a slave. He has said to us when he was talking to the fathers, he said, you will be above only and never be beneath. And he knows that it is impossible for us to achieve the state of being above and not be beneath if we are poor. A poor man is beneath. When you go to any occasion, there will always be at least three sections of sitting arrangement. The ones who will be at the high tables, the one who will be at the priority place, and the one who will be at the masses. You can't fight and say, do you know who I am to the person who's having a wedding today? If you are poor, you will be among the masses. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. If we must escape this, what provision then has God made for us? Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. God does not desire that the believer be servant. God does not desire that the believer be slave. Look at what he did. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He said, he who did not spare his son. Are we together now? He who did not spare his son, but deliver him up for us all. Look at what the Bible is saying. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see the extent that the Father has gone for us. Jesus is not only the sacrificial lamb for our salvation from sin. I say it and I will keep saying it. The same blood that saved you from sin saved you from poverty. If the only thing you embrace is salvation from sin, you will keep living in poverty. The same blood that saved you from sin saved you from sickness. The same way you should not be sick, is the same way you should not be poor. It's not going to pay another price to bring you into the blessing. When he hung on the cross, Paul told us in Galatians chapter number 3, he said when he hung on the cross, upon him was laid everything that is called the curse of the law. And having laid the curses on him, he said we will have access into the blessing. The blessing itself is not the riches, but it is the blessing that maketh man rich. It is the blessing upon Abraham that brought Abraham to the place of wealth and prosperity. It is the blessing upon Isaac. It is the blessing upon Jacob that brought these people to the place of wealth and prosperity. And believers, to have access into the blessing, Jesus was offered up for us. Give me another version, maybe the Passion Translation or any other version of this verse before I move on from there. Look at what the Bible says. This is the Passion. It said, for God proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of the Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly would withhold from us anything else that he has to give. So the gospel of believers should be poor is not a gospel from God. Any Christianity that suggests poverty is an antichrist Christianity. Any man of God that says in order to walk in righteousness, you have to be poor, it's not preaching the gospel of Jesus. I refer you back to the message, the one we had last week, the part one of it. We thoroughly address these things and put it in proper perspective. Because money is not evil. It is the love for money that is evil. And you don't have to have money to have the love for money. In most cases, it is the poor people that have love for money. I want you to get to a place where you will believe and understand that part of your redemptive package is wealth and prosperity. Revelation chapter 5. Help me, Holy Spirit. That scripture just flashed now. Revelation chapter 5. Let's start from verse 10. Revelation 5. I think it should be around 12 or so. He had redeemed us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Next verse, please. He said, look, and a thousand and a thousand. Give me this verse. Verse 12. That should be where I'm going. Verse 12. Hallelujah. This is where I'm going. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Look at what the Bible says. It said, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Shout it. Who is the Lamb? Christ is the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Watch this now. The Lamb was slain for us to receive number one. Shout it, number one. So there should be no Christian who will be powerless. There should be no Christian who should be weak. Because when he was slain, these things were given to us. His crucifixion on the cross gave us access to these things in Christ. So if you are a believer and you don't have access to this, it is your ignorance, not God. He was slain for us to receive number one, power. Number two, shout it if you want it. Shout it very well. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. If any of this thing is missing in your life, you are not living in the fullness of Christianity. Let me say it again and again. I don't care who is teaching or preaching to you. If any of these seven is missing in your life, you are not maximizing the fullness of Christianity. The same blood that brought you righteousness brought you power. That same blood brought you riches. That same blood brought you strength. That same blood brought you honor. That same blood brought you glory. That same blood brought you blessing. You need to understand and believe and allow your mind to receive these things I'm teaching you. Until you believe in your heart that prosperity is part of your package, you will never be able to access it. If you reject this message, it's a sign of demonic attack on your heart. He was slain that we may receive power. Second, riches. How can it die for me to receive power and yet I will live a weak life on the earth? I am wasting the reality and the essence of his death. The pain that he went through is too much for me to waste them because of my holier than thou mindset. Who taught you that a believer should be poor? Who taught you that the poorer you are, the more holy you are? No, sir. No, sir. You are meant to be rich and righteous. Abraham was rich. Abraham was righteous. Scripture number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why am I bringing scriptures like this to you? If the word cannot change your mind, nothing else can change your mind. Because the reason why many of us have embraced poverty is because we have been taught that if you ever step into wealth, you will lose God. No, sir. It's a lie. Actually, do you know my new definition? Poverty is one of the greatest antichrist systems. A poor man will lie. A poor man will steal. A poor man will do anything just to get out of poverty. Let's read scripture number 3. And I want you to read it to me now with a loud voice. Are we all together now? With a loud voice. 1, 2, go. You know, I can just drop the mic now and go. If this message cannot mean anything to you, then I can't help you. I want you to read it again. And everywhere you find you, put I there. Read it to yourself. Are you ready now? Are you ready? We are going to read this scripture like 3 times until it dawns on you. Are you ready? 1, 2, go. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty may become rich. I don't know if something is happening to you like it's happening to me. It's a sin for me to be poor. Is what? I'm not talking about money mongering. I'm not talking about the pursuit or a desire, affinity for money. No, sir. Look at what the master did. The master saw me coming and emptied his accounts and said, let me live this simple life and live a poverty life so that this guy coming will enjoy wealth. Now look at what the Bible called the poverty of Jesus. When Jesus was on the earth, Jesus rode on the donkey that was not used before. And yet the Bible called that one poverty. Jesus was never stranded or harassed without money. And yet the Bible called that what? If his poverty were that good, what will his riches look like? Let's read this scripture again to yourself. Are we set now? With a loud voice again. 1, 2, go. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that through his poverty I may become rich. Is something happening to you? This is the Bible. I didn't write it. I didn't write it. I didn't write it. This is the scripture. Rise up on your feet. Put your hands on your chest. Let's declare this word. Let's declare this word. Are we ready again? We're making it personal again. Don't worry if you don't want wealth, you can sit down. If you don't want the riches, you can sit down. Don't worry. But me, I found from the word of God what he has done for my sake. Jesus will be angry with me if I live a poor life on the earth and I say, I serve you so that I will not go into the world. That's why I didn't choose poverty. If I were to be Jesus, it will knock me on the head. I said, don't you know I left all of those things so that you can enjoy them? Are we ready now? 1, 2, go. For I, Olanrewa, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was very rich, yet he became very poor, that I, Olanrewa, you, through his poverty, may become very rich. Sit down. Many of us are surprised that this exists in the Bible. You have never seen it before. They have never read it to you before. You have never stumbled at it. But this is it. If you match this with Revelation chapter number 5 and verse 12, and you match this with Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, they are all saying the same thing. He did not withhold his son. He gave himself. Why will he withhold riches? Who told you God is the one behind your poverty? I know. I am surprised when I see a believer who is poor. Because it simply means we don't know what God has done and prepared for us. I am very surprised when I see a believer, especially a man of God, who is poor. Prosperity is not against the anointing. It actually amplifies the anointing. Because a poor man of God's voice cannot be heard. If a man of God has a prophecy now that can save Nigeria and is poor in the local village, do you think anybody will listen to him? No. Let's begin our journey tonight. What is kingdom wealth? We touched a little on this last week. Let us really touch on it tonight. Number one, we say kingdom wealth means having access to abundantly sufficient kingdom resources for life and for God's kingdom agenda on the earth. That's number one. Number two, we said kingdom wealth is the wealth that has its source in Christ, entrusted to the believer for kingdom assignments. Kingdom wealth is the wealth that has its source in Christ, entrusted to the believer for kingdom assignments. In this number two definitions, there are 3 points that we should consider. Number one, we consider that kingdom wealth has its source in Christ. We stopped there last week. Kingdom wealth has its source in Christ. James chapter number 1 and verse 17. You must know and never forget. If you will ever walk in prosperity, if you will ever access the riches and the prosperity reserved for us in this kingdom, you must understand always that your source is Christ. God is your source. Men can be the channel. God is your source. Your job may be the channel. God is your source. Your business may be the channel. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift come from above. It comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. Every good comes from God. It may come through men, but it comes from God. Water comes from the earth. It goes through the pipe, but it comes from the earth. Blessings comes from God. Wealth comes from God. Riches comes from God. Prosperity has its source in God. If you don't understand this, you can't walk in kingdom prosperity. Your eyes at every time must be set on the source. If you look at a man, you will end up in frustration. He said, woe to a man who put his trust in another man. But you will, if you look up to him alone, you will not be ashamed. I said it last week. Let me tell you again. Leave it to your source to choose the channel to use. You don't have to tell him. Many of us have reduced God to bless us only through our salary. That's why the more you receive the salary, the frustrated you become. We have reduced God to bless us only through an uncle who have been nice over time. But if you limit God to one source, you will only enjoy what that source has to offer. God is the source. God is the source. So if a man promise and refuse to redeem his promise, I will still not feel bad because my source is ever stable. If I expect that brother A will give me and brother A refuse to give me, I will not feel bad because God can choose anyone. It's not limited to one person. God is the source. Kingdom wealth has its source in God. Its source in God. Its source in God. It does not have its source in your business. It does not have its source in Nigerian economy. That's why you can live in a country where the economy is going down and your personal economy will be going up, because your source is not the economy of the nation where you live. We are actually ambassadors on the earth. Even though we live in the earth, we are not of the earth. And if it is true that we are ambassadors of heaven, every ambassador relies on supply from his source. His source is his home country. And you will never see an American ambassador run around and shout and say, "Do you know that naira dollar now is 1,000 naira?" What has it got to do with that? He doesn't live in Nigeria. Even though he lives in the U.S. embassy, the U.N. embassy in Nigeria is considered to be America. That is how the believer was made. So that even though you walk on the earth amongst the people, you are in Nigeria, but you are not living in Nigeria. You must be conscious of your source. You must be conscious of your source. When needs arise, many times we have asked many other sources, many other channels, and we ask God last. When you ask brother A, brother B, uncle A, auntie C, when they all failed, you will now try and say, "Lord, you have seen, though. What am I going to do?" That's where you're supposed to start from. God is my source. God is my source. Kingdom wealth has its source in God. Its source in God. Number two, kingdom wealth is entrusted to the believer. Mark what I'm saying. Kingdom wealth is entrusted to the believer. You don't own kingdom wealth. You don't own it. It's entrusted. You are made a caregiver of it. You are made a caretaker of it. When God blesses you, you are only a caretaker. He puts it in your hands so that he can give others through your hands. And you are prosperous to the degree to which God can channel his resources through you to nations and to men. It's an entrust. It is entrusted into your care. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. "For who makes you differ from another?" Paul is speaking to us. "What do you have that you do not receive? What do you have that you do not receive? What do you have that you do not receive? What do you have that you do not receive?" You must carry this consciousness. What do you have? What money do you have? What influence do you have? What anointing do you have? What power do you have? What knowledge do you have that you do not receive? And if you receive it, if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? You see that now. You cannot make a boast and beat your chest when you are operating in kingdom prosperity. No. You know you are a caregiver. You are a caretaker of whatever God gives you. If God gives you a car, you know you don't have a car. You are only a caretaker of the car. What do you have This is the reason why many are laboring in the kingdom. We want to hone things. We want to hone it and be able to beat our chest like Nebuchadnezzar. By my power, I have built this. Only that in this kingdom, you are not permitted to hone anything. You are only given entrustment of kingdom resources. Do you know what it means to not own things? What it means is that whether it's in your hands or it's in the hand of God, it does not make any difference. If God give me 10 million naira, for instance, today, and God wants to give Pastor K or Bro Joshua 5 million or 500,000, God does not need to labor, to struggle. All he needs to do is to look at his bank account on the earth, which is who I have become now, and instruct his bank account to pass his money to that brother. Are we together now? If God cannot do that with his resources, forget it. Forget it, sir. God does not give accumulators. He gives distributors. If you want to be an accumulator, my wealth, my prosperity, you will stop having from God. He said, there is he that scattereth, yet it increase. But there is he that withholdeth. The more you try to withhold, the more poverty heat into himself. If God cannot pass it through you, God will not get it to you. You are not the owner. When money comes to your mind, your hand, I'm mentioning money because I will narrow down literally on money. When money comes to your end, the first thing that should come to you, haven't taken the 10%, the one he asks you to preserve, I'm going there maybe next week. Haven't done that, the next 90%, it's not to blow it the way you want, it's to ask, what would you have me do with this money? God brought some resources my way sometimes earlier on this year, and God instructed me what they are meant for. As he was coming, God was telling me, it's meant for this, it's meant for this. And I was telling people, I'm helpless. Don't think that I have the resources. The owner sending it said it's meant for this particular one. God needs distributors. But men are not ready to be distributors. God needs men. That when there is a church who wants to do a program, whose pastor is fasting and praying over 500,000 to host that program, God can knock you in the night and say, please go and save this my servant from this headache. Let him focus on other things. Give him 1 million naira. I know that they need 500,000 for that. Just give him 1 million naira so that the guy can be focused to my move and to what I want to do to the service. If God can find you as such, there is nothing God cannot give you. If God can find in you a man that can be entrusted and will not abuse it like Judas did, there is nothing God cannot give you. If God can find in you, this does not only affect money, this affects everything that comes from God. If God can find in you a man that can be entrusted with so much grace and so much anointing and yet not abuse it, believe me, sir, you will become his kingdom key distributor. 1 Samuel, Hannah was praying every day, give me a child. Penina is mocking me. I want to have a child for myself to also prove to the world that I'm a woman who can give birth. As long as you want a child for herself, that woman never got a child. But one day she said, can you make me a custodian of the next prophet on the land of Israel? The Bible says she prayed that prayer once, and her womb was opened. When she gave Samuel, she had 7 other children. When she gave Samuel, kingdom wealth is entrusted. You will never be the owner of it. Paul said, what do you have that you were not given? Why then do you boast as though you have not received it? Number 3 point about kingdom wealth you need to know, even as we start and continue our introductions tonight. The first thing is that kingdom wealth has its source in God. Number 2, kingdom wealth is entrusted to the believer. Of course, by this entrustment, you already know that God cannot give an unbeliever access to kingdom wealth. Because you can only entrust the ones who are yours. So it's entrusted to the believer. To the believer. Number three, kingdom wealth is for kingdom assignments. Apostle, does that mean that I will have money in my account and still suffer on the earth? No. Just follow me. Kingdom wealth is for kingdom assignments. Exodus chapter 36 and verse 2. Exodus 36 and verse 2. We have come with an open heart. Just stay there. Holy Shenwa in part. Just stay right there for me. Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose hearts the Lord has put wisdom, and everyone whose heart was stirred, come and do the work. The first thing God did was to give them wisdom and then place a demand. Give me the next verse, sir. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him free will offering every morning. These guys were in the wilderness. This is the building of the first tabernacle. Where could they have gotten the resources they are given in the wilderness? I show you how they get it tonight. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 35 into verse 36. Don't forget that they came to the place in their journey at the sojourn in the wilderness that God placed demand on the things that they have. But how did they get these things in the first place? Exodus chapter 12 from verse 35 into 36. Now the children of Israel has done according to the word of Moses, and they ask from the Egyptian articles of silver, articles of gold, and of clothing. Next verse, please. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptian, so that they granted them their request, and they plundered the Egyptians. So God gave them, when they were leaving Egypt, God gave them access to the resources of the Egyptians. So every man had his pocket and his bag filled with riches of gold and of silver and of many precious things. They would have thought that it was meant for themselves. They would have thought that it was meant for just enjoy life and blow it and happen and live the way you want. But there came a time in Exodus chapter number 36 when God placed demand on the things that God has put in their custody. Kingdom wealth is for kingdom assignments. Hear what I'm about to tell you and never forget it if you will live in wealth and prosperity. Anything you have that cannot reveal Christ is nonsense. Anything you have, anything you wear, anything you spend, any car you drive, anyhow you live, if Christ cannot be revealed, then it's pure nonsense in the eyes of the kingdom. Kingdom wealth is for kingdom assignment, not for self-aggrandizement. I have not begun to tell you how to access wealth. Do this, do mm-mm. You need to understand, because before God we entrust things and resources into the hands of men in this kingdom, the first thing he does is to search the heart of that man. If you don't understand the purpose of kingdom wealth, you will never walk in the reality of it. If you don't understand the reason, why should God bless me? What is the purpose of this wealth? If you don't understand and agree with the terms of it, you can pray, you can do all of the principles, you will never walk in kingdom principle, kingdom wealth. Kingdom wealth is for kingdom assignments. For you to be wealthy in this kingdom, there are four areas of life that you must be doing well. You know, in the world, they will say he's wealthy because he have money. But if money is the only thing you have in this kingdom, you are not wealthy. For you to be wealthy in this kingdom, there are four areas of life. Four areas of life where you must be doing well for you to be called a wealthy man in the context of the kingdom. Number one, spiritual wealth. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Spiritual wealth. Jeremiah, now look at what the Bible says from verse 23 to 24. The Lord says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory in this, that he understand and knows me. That he understand and knows me. The basic of the strength of the believer is predicated on his knowledge of his God. The basic of the strength of the believer is predicated. That is the foundation that carry every other thing. If you are rich in money and you are poor in spirit, you are really poor. If you are rich in properties and you are poor in spirit, you don't have relationship with this God, then you are really poor. It begins with your spiritual prosperity. What does this spiritual prosperity mean? It means your relationship with God. How well is your relationship with God? Do you know this God? It was Daniel that told us in his word to us, in his writings. Daniel said, the people that do know their God shall be strong. It begins with your relationship with God. That is the first wealth. How rich are you towards God? How wealthy are you towards God? Do you have the knowledge of Him? Do you understand Him? Do you feel His pulse? Many people don't care as much that they are making money. They don't care if they don't have relationship with God. Time will show that every other thing we end on this earth, only your relationship with God can journey beyond the earth realm. The rich man was rich on the earth in terms of naira and kobo, or in terms of gold and silver, but the rich man never paid attention to his spiritual wealth. A day came in his life when the end comes to what riches of the earth can buy. Then what remains for him is his level of his relationship with God. I've said it times and again, the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because spiritually he was poor. Abraham was rich also. Abraham had an estate to himself in heaven, because as he was rich in silver and gold, he was also rich in his relationship with God. Your relationship with God. Number two under spiritual wealth is your submission to his lordship. God does not use rebel, he uses servants. Your submission to his lordship. Many call him Lord, Lord by their lips. With their hearts, they are far away from him. Your submission. Don't think you are obedient now. You may be obedient because you have not accessed a level of influence and wealth. So God will vet your heart. How submitted is this heart to the lordship of Christ? Is it your way or his way? Is it your will or his will? Your submission. Number three, your understanding of his ways. This is how you judge the spiritual worthiness of a man. Number one is his relationship with God. Number two is his submission to the lordship of Christ. And number three is the understanding of the ways of God. Do you understand the ways of God? Do you understand the principles, the precepts, the dynamics of operation in this kingdom? If a man got born again today, if we hand that man over to you, do you understand the dynamics of converting a weak man spiritually to a strong man? Do you know how God works? Do you know what God can say and what God cannot say? spiritual prosperity. In 3 John, the Spirit told us, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. But it is according to the prosperity of your soul. Spiritual wealth. That's the first. The first that must be placed on the altar. If we will ever be called wealthy in this kingdom, the first one we are going to check is not your bank accounts. The first we are going to check is not your cars, the houses. No. The first thing we are going to look at, according to the context of the kingdom, the first thing we are going to consider is how rich are you towards God? How connected are you towards Him? How submitted are you towards His way? How knowledgeable are you towards His principles? Number two, you are still to judge the worldliness of a man in the kingdom context is your mental wealth. Your mental wealth. It talks about the level of the renewal of your mind, the enlightenment of your heart. In alignment to the kingdom, your mental wealth. Your mental wealth. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Look at what the Bible says. It said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God wants the believer to prosper even in their mind. God does not want a man of God who is an ignoramus in the world. God does not want a believer who walks in the ways of stupidity. He wants your mind to be renewed. Renewal of mind in this context means bringing your mind to alignment with the reality of the kingdom, where you no longer think the way the world thinks. The level of the renewal of your mind. The level of the renewal of your mind. Your mental alignment towards kingdom perspective. Mental alignment. It was in Romans chapter 12. Give us that scripture. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. That the Bible told us what to do and not to do. He said, for I say, be not conformed to this world. Believers, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Be transformed. Be transformed. It means as your mind keep improving, keep renewing, keep aligned, then your life keep transforming. So I can look at your life and know the state, the level you have gotten to in your transformation. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What is the first thing we use to judge prosperity and wealth in the kingdom? Can I hear you shout it? Can I hear you shout it? Number two, mental wealth. Number three is your bodily health, wealth. I call that your health, wealth. Your health. If you have money, if you are spiritual, if your mind is transformed, but if your body is deformed, you will not be relevant on the earth. If you suffer deformity in your health, if you are not in good state in your body, you will not be able to advance the purpose of God on the earth. You will have revelation locked up in your heart, but your body will deny you the ability to bless a generation. Not because you don't know what to say, but because the states of the health of your body will not permit you to stand and to speak. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24. Isaiah 33 and verse 24. Isaiah 33 and verse 24. Look at what the Bible says concerning us. It said, and the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. Those who come to this kingdom,
those who embrace the truth and the knowledge of God, the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity forever. So if we agree that we have been forgiven our iniquity, then we should not have sickness in our bodies. So God wants us to prosper spiritually. God wants us to prosper mentally. God wants us to prosper bodily. If you are still with me, say amen tonight. The thoughts that we use to judge prosperity and wealth in this kingdom is called relational prosperity. Money is not the only thing you need for life. If you have money and you lack men, you will be frustrated. If you have money and you lack health, there are people on the hospital bed right now at UCH who are telling doctors, doctor, if it is money is not the problem. Just make sure you save my life. They are ready to give their billions in exchange for their health. Yet, money cannot exchange the place of your health. There are people who call an event. I had a story of a lady at the time who committed suicide. Why? She had her birthday, called an event, rented a hall, set everything on that birthday. Nobody showed up. She had money to organize an event, but she lacked relationship with men. You think money is all you need? If suddenly every man on the earth migrate the earth for you to Mars, and everything on the earth is open up for you alone, you will know how frail and how futile money really is. You need money because there is a man. You need money because there is a man to extend value from. If there is no man to extend value from, money becomes useless. How can you spend so much to organize an event, and then you are not crying because of what you have spent? You are crying because nobody showed up. God wants us to prosper relationally. He wants us to prosper relationally. He wants to give us access to the heart of men. He wants to give us wisdom to relate with men. He wants believers not to walk as fools on the earth. The richness of your relationship with men. And when I say this, I mean Christians and non-Christians. If the only people you can relate with are the believers, you will still fail on the earth. Because there are certain dimensions of your life and your existence that is not depending on believers. Do you understand the wisdom to deal with unbelievers? Do you have the wisdom to navigate your path in this cosmos? Many believers have come. They fall cheaply into the schemings of the men of this world. Jesus told us that I send you as sheep in the midst of the wolves. He then told us to be wise as serpents. The wisdom of serpents should sound like a wisdom that is evil. But he said you need to understand the modus operandi, the principles, the navigating principles of this world to walk in the midst of them. So that you will not be a victim. Many believers cannot effectively work in an office where unbelievers are available. If you are the only Christian in your office, do you understand the principles of working with them and yet not affecting your Christianity? Or you not suffering for your faith? Many of the things we call the suffering of our faith is because we lack the wisdom to relate with men. I can relate with those who are chain smokers. I can relate with those who are thugs. I can relate with anybody because there is a wisdom in the scripture that teaches us how to relate with man. Believers are the most vulnerable. They dangle small thing before them and then you see them jumping at it. They can easily scam the believer because we don't have what I call the street sense. It is the wisdom of this world. The wisdom to walk your ways in the midst of them. And you beat them hands down. God wants you to have this. God wants you to have the wisdom to relate in the midst of men. So how many kinds of wealth have I mentioned now? Can I have them? One, two, go. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Number one. Number two. What does that mean? Bodily wealth. Health wealth. You are still correct. Sir. The way it's sounding from... Okay, say health wealth. Let me hear how you want to call it. Health wealth. That's it now. Wealth simply means having abundance. So, health. That means I have it in abundance. And what's the last one I just mentioned now? Now, the place we are going and what I know you all have been waiting for is what I'm going to start now. So, I'm just starting the message. Financial wealth. I'm going to be mentioning money because I know when people hear money, there's an anointing that comes upon them. Money, 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 money. I have taught that I am not teaching you this message as a money monger. I have taught that I'm not teaching you this message as a one that should have obsession and pursuit for money. But whosoever told you money is not important is deceiving you. Your life will soon be granted when money is missing. You will be shocked with your speaking in tongues. Landlord will throw your baggages outside. And it will be in the rain when you don't have money. You will be surprised that you will have visions and dreams that should change the world for the Lord. But when money is not available, they will remain on your vision books until you see somebody else actualize what is your vision. Money is important. Financial prosperity. What is money? Of course, we know economics. We know money is one of the means of value exchange in the earth. I mean, basic. Is that what's that now? Where are we talking about now? Social studies. Is it social study? Oh, it's even business studies. Primary one or two. Money, GS2. Money is one of the means. Money is one of the means. Money is one of the means through which value is exchanged on the earth. I know that social study taught you that money is the means, but money is not the only means. There are other means of exchanging value on the earth. Are we together now? That does not have anything to do with money. But money is one of the means through which value is exchanged on the earth. Now, money. Can I have 1,000 or 500 cash Nigerian notes? New one. I don't want. If you have it, give me quickly. This one is new. Thank you. Thank you. What is this? Call it now. What is this? Shout it loud. What? I know it's 500 now. What is this? What is this? Now, I'm going to be teaching you a lot with money. And I want you to pay attention. Pay attention closely. This is what we call money. And through this, value can be exchanged on the earth. Is that true? If you are holding the bread, or if you are holding bottled water, and I am thirsty, if I come to you, I will say, God bless you, give me bottled water. Even if you do it for me the first time, will you do it for me the second time? If somebody is hawking bottled water on the street now, and I say, hey, bottled water seller, come. And the guy comes, and I say, bottled water, kneel down, in the name of Jesus. Barada, bebu, sivrandiata, commande. In Jesus' name I pray. Two. The value of that prayer is two bottled waters. What do you think will happen to me? What do you think will happen to me? And I open the bottled water, I'm drinking it. And the guy says, I've paid you now. I paid you with prayer. I'm sure I will be beaten up. But when I put my hands in my pocket and bring this out, what do you think happened? The guy will give me bottled water and collect this from me, and the parts are not feel cheated. I gave him paper. He will give me his value and yet not feel cheated. Because money is one of the means through which value is exchanged on the earth. But there are some things you don't understand about money. Listen carefully. I learned this by God's mercy from referred teacher who has taught me in the school of money. which I would advise that every one of us educate yourself as touching money. Many of us chase money because we don't understand the nature of money. If you understand the nature of money, you will know money is not to be chased. Listen carefully. Money is a spirit. Money has a soul. Money lives in the body. Are you with me now? Money is a spirit. This is not money. This is the body of money. Money is a spirit. Money has a soul. Money lives in the body. Do you know if suddenly right now you get 500,000 naira alert, or let me say 5 million naira alert in your account, if your phone rings and you look at that phone, you know the first thing that happened to you? You will misbehave immediately. Now, you have not been given paper. So, this cannot be the money. Just seeing that alert, 5000000, you will jump up and begin to say, hey, they will say, calm down. You will say, no, don't let me calm down. Something is happening to me. Because the spirit behind what you receive is the one triggering you. Money is a spirit. And just like you know, to be a master over anything, you must be a master over the spirit of that thing. To be a master over anything on the earth, you must be a master over the spirit that controls that thing. So the Bible says it this way, that we know that spiritual realm give birth to physical realm and supervise what happens in the physical realm. Money is a spirit. Let's look at the scripture now. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Jesus himself is teaching here now. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Listen to some truth I'm going to be bringing your way at this moment. We are touching the heart. We have done with introduction. We are entering into the heart of this message. This is how I know I will never be poor. So when you hear me saying I will never be poor, I'm not chanting. I'm not making faith confession. I'm declaring the state of my reality. I understand this thing. When Solomon had an encounter with God, and God said, I've given you wisdom. When he woke up from that encounter, his head did not become bigger. Yet, he had been given wisdom. Time proved that he has received wisdom of the truth. So watch it. If you are interested, enter into this wisdom and knowledge with me. Because the day is coming, we unveil the reality of what we truly believe. Jesus is speaking here. He said, no one can serve two masters. That means, when it comes to the state of the earth, there are only two masters. Recognized by Jesus, recognized by the realm of the spirit. Number one, he said, no one can serve two masters. He will hate one and love the other. Are we together now? Or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. Come, Joshua. Come, Bro Lumide. Two masters. Here are the two masters that God recognized on the earth. No one can serve this two master. There is no way that I will come and say, man, I'm loyal. Oh my God, I'm loyal. And I will still go and say, I'm loyal. No, sir. You can't serve two masters. It's either you are loyal to one and you are just deceiving the other, or you are loyal to this and you are just deceiving this. So Jesus is teaching us. He said, no one can serve two masters. And when it comes to unveiling who this two master is, in the last line of that scripture, he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Wow. I thought the two masters on the earth would have been God and Satan. When Jesus was judging the masters on the earth, he did not mention Satan. He said mammon. This is God. We all know God. But who is this mammon? Who is this mammon that Jesus said we cannot be loyal to and still be loyal to God? Who is this mammon that is also a master on the earth that can take people's attention from the other master on the earth? Listen to me, brothers and sisters. If you ask people the reason why they are not serving God, 90 out of 100, they will tell you back to their needs for mammon. You didn't come to church last week. I don't have money. Mammon. You didn't come to church, midweek service. Ah, my place of work, mammon. Ask a prostitute on the street tonight, why are you doing this thing? Don't let me deceive you. Even me, I'm a chorister in my church. I want to serve God, but how will I make ends meet? Mammon. 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 And the believers are not being taught how to be a master over mammon. And as day passes by, we see gradually mammon turning our attention away from God. When you begin your journey as the believer, you will say, God, it is you and you forever. Food or no food, I will love you. Money or no money, I will love you. Don't worry. The devil understands the laws that govern the earth. So while you are saying, I will love you, it will not say anything. But in this God, if God will help you, it will give you access and exposure to the ministry of teaching priests, such that in this God, they can teach you the dynamics of being a master over mammon. Because no matter who you are, one day you will need mammon. And if you have not been taught to take charge of mammon, mammon will force you to pay attention to him and ignore the Lord. A man of God called, Lord, it is you. Lord, it is you. No problem. If you never expose yourself to the knowledge that makes you a master, one day, the one you love will tell you to go and host a crusade for him. I will say, I will do anything. When you get to the crusade ground, you will see that you need money to hire speakers. You need money to fuel the generator. You need money to fund the logistics. You need money to do X, Y, Z. And then you will not look as though God scammed you. No, God did not scam you. Mammon is not the devil. Listen carefully to what I'm telling you tonight. Mammon does not even have its origin in the devil. Mammon was created by God. Listen carefully. Mammon in itself is not evil. Don't forget what I'm saying. You can't serve two masters. Mammon in itself is not evil. Mammon is not evil. Mammon is not against God. But our lack of accurate understanding is what makes us to focus on mammon and ignore God. This is how the believer is supposed to walk. You are supposed to, through your God, be a master over mammon and now use mammon to serve your God. Is somebody with me now? You are supposed to, through your God, the blessings of God on you, be a master over mammon. And now, through that understanding of how mammon works, mammon is predictable. There is one common law you must know about mammon. Those who chase mammon never meet him. You will keep chasing him. Why? Mammon has wings. It can fly away. Is somebody with me tonight? Mammon was not designed to be chased. Mammon was designed to come. Are you with me now? If you chase mammon, you will never meet mammon. But when you get the principles that attract mammon, you will stay in God and mammon will come to you. But this is what we see that has made mammon evil on the earth. We have been taught that mammon is from the devil. It's not true. And this is what makes believers and men of God to believe so. We use our God. And that's what we are doing, sadly, even up till now. We use our God to serve mammon. So every church service is focused on how to get mammon. When a man of God starts to preach, before he mentions 1, 2, 3 things, his prayer point is on mammon. We ignore the Almighty because of our pursuit for
mammon. You can either use God to serve mammon or use mammon to serve God. When you use mammon to serve God, it's called kingdom prosperity. When you use God to serve mammon, it's called idolatry. Is somebody with me now? I'm still talking about the spirit of money, because you need to understand how this spirit works. Now, let me tell you the truth. This spirit can go to any man that understands the principles that call it. We are not getting there yet, but I'll just go ahead and then come back. Please avoid distractions, please. Mammon is not sent to the believer. Mammon is a spirit on the earth. It can go to anyone that understands the principles that call it. You don't have to be a believer to be in charge of mammon. The richest people in Nigeria, the richest man in Africa, is not even a born again Christian, as much as we know. The richest person in the world who has control over this thing we call mammon is not even a believer. So you don't have to be rich, you don't have to be a believer to have access to mammon. But if you will be in charge of mammon, so that in mammon will not come for you destruction, you would have to be a believer. Steve Jobs, of blessed memory, had billions of dollars stacked up in his bank accounts, yet he died of cancer. He had mammon, but he did not have the Almighty. Michael Jackson was rich and famous, yet he died as a miserable entity. They had mammon, but they did not have the Almighty. Money is a spirit. You see what the Bible says to it? You know why believers will confuse these two for themselves? Because let me tell you something honestly. I'm not the religious person. I will tell you how it is. Most of the things, not all, most of the things this person can do, this one can also do. Am I blaspheming? Why are you guys looking at me this way? Most of the things God can do, money can also do. God bring favor my way. God bring people. Let people like me. If you have money, even if they don't like you, they will come to you. Is that true? This is why we confuse them. But they are not the same, and they are not in the same class. God made this. They are not in the same class. It is our lack of understanding of who this is that is making us to bring this in the same class of this. That is why if your boss call you now, as you are enjoying this message and being blessed by it, if you say, meet me in Malete now, you will jump up on your feet and go there. This is calling you. Okay, let's see the scripture, since you are looking at me like this. I know you are going to get to where you will be stuck. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 19. Everything God, most things, not everything, most things God can do, money can do. I want you to read it for me. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Chapter number 10 and verse 19. 19 is what I said. Look at what the Bible says. Are you ready now? Read it for me. 1, 2, go. Read that loud, clearly. 1, 2, go. It is the Bible we are reading. Read that last line again. 1, 2, go. Does that sound like with God all things are possible? Does it sound alike? But God can do everything. Don't be religious. I'm teaching you the word. Does it sound like that? This is in the Bible. I didn't write it. You may want to read your Bible for yourself. Does that sound like, and with God,
all things are possible. He said, but money answers all things. Sir, play with versions. Play with versions. Work with me. Play with versions, sir. So that the people can know. Play with versions. Give us, what do we have there now? NLT message. We mess it up. Okay, let's just have those. Go on. What's this now? New King James. Give us the next one. Be fast, please. I need to tidy up some things. And then we need to leave. Look at what the Bible says. NLT says that last line. Read it. 1, 2, go. It's becoming interesting. Are you not liking this verse? This is why people confuse. So, if God gives everything and money gives everything, I've never seen God before, but I see money. Let me go for money. But true riches exist in God. What we don't know is this. This is available in God in his true state without corruption. It is the blessing that maketh rich. Riches mean you have had absolute dominion over this. There are people who are not running after this again. What can you dangle before Bishop Oyedepo now that will make him to say, give me, give me, give me? No. They have entered Sabbath when it comes to this. Yet, they are still in tune with this. In fact, they have so much mastered this law that they can stay in this and not move. And no matter where this is, when he hears their voice, he comes. Look at what the Bible says. The Tree of Life Bible. I've not seen this before. Is that a feast is made for laughter and wine makes life glad. But money is what? Who wrote this Bible now? This is sound like a blasphemy. This is what believers don't know. And that is why we are suffering. Mammon is the spirit of money. So, this is why Jesus was teaching. And he said, you cannot serve two masters. There are two masters on the earth whose work look alike. But don't get it wrong. One is the master of all masters. The other is not a master. Man has made it master. Please get this. I'm going to be launching some deep things beginning from now. But get this basic one. This is still simple. So money is a spirit. That spirit is mammon. Don't get to man, start shouting, wherever you are, mammon, come. It doesn't come that way. Mammon does not respond to your voice. It responds to your action. Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there. If it responds to voice, the loudest prayer warrior should be the richest. Yet, sadly, respectfully speaking, many of them are the poorest. There is something that called this one. Let's move on tonight. So, the spirit of money is called mammon. So, we all understand what the spirit of money is now. You can go. Thank you. Thank you. We all understand what the spirit of money is now. What is the spirit of money called? Shout it now. Am I all by myself? Are you getting this? Are you sure? The purpose of it is for you to get. That's why I'm this simple. I can rush on and not do any example. But are you getting it? If you are not getting it, say amen. If you are getting it, shout hallelujah. So money has a soul. What is the soul of the money? The soul of the money talks about the value of that money. Let me ask you a simple question. Be honest with me. I want you to shout out your response. Look at me, everyone. If I give you 1,000 naira, and I give you, okay, if I hold in my hands 1,000 naira, and I hold in my hands 1,000 pounds, and I hold in my hands $1,000, and I say, come, which of them would you get? Will you collect? No, naira, your local, your currency. You mean you would disown your currency? 1,000 naira, $1,000, $1,000. Which one do you want? No, let me, don't confuse me. Which one? But they are all 1,000. In fact, they all may be in one bill. I may hold one bill of £500 like this. One bill of $500. One bill of 500 naira. But you and I know. You and I know. You and I know that one bill of 500 naira is not even up to a quarter tier of £1. Sadly, the Lord is doing something good in Nigeria. Don't worry. You know that you will need like 200 pieces of this to get one bill of the other. Yet they are all paper. In most cases, the US pounds is smaller than this. So if it is the size of the body that determines the value of the body, then we will say this one is bigger. Are you with me now? So money has a soul. The soul of money is the value in markets. If you don't understand this, forget money. This is why when I begin to teach you about the law of value creation, you will know that if I'm producing and you are producing, if you are producing the same thing, while you are running around customer in Nigeria, if I can strategically get customer in United Kingdom, two of my customer in Nigeria will pay me off to hundreds of your customer in United Kingdom. You are not rich until you are global. We are getting there. Many who are called rich today, or who are called rich 5 years ago, I know people who stored up like 10 million naira. Right now, their 10 million naira has reduced in value to 2 million naira. They still have 10 million naira, but the market reality and the purchasing power of that 10 million naira has reduced. Money is a spirit. Money has a soul. Money lives in the body. Now, do you understand the soul of money now? So it then means, let me talk to you. Your value is not in your body. Your value is in your soul. How renewed are you? This is why Yoruba people will say, a short man can send a tall man on an errand if a short man is more valuable than the tall man. If you are still with me tonight, say amen. And the soul of money can fail. Genesis chapter 47 and verse 15. Let me show you an example of the soul of money in the Bible. Genesis 47 and verse 15. I'm wrapping up now. Genesis 47. Look at what the Bible says. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt. Have you heard that word before? Failed. They had money, but their money could not buy anything again. When the money failed in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, and all Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread. Why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed. The money has failed. There was a time that if you are going to Lagos, if you have this, in fact, you will go to and fro. Is that true? In this same Nigeria, if you have this, you go, if I can even buy gala while you are going, you eat gala, you go, and then you come back out of 500 naira. But can you do that anymore now? What is happening to naira before your face? The soul of naira is failing. So when we say money is devaluing, we're not talking about the size. That's why I don't want to go into all of these economic things. That's why the solution to it may not be to change the face of the currency, it may be to do something that will jack the soul of the currency. If you change this paper and it's still 500 naira, it is what it can buy that it will still buy. I don't like talking about stuff like that, but we need to learn. That's why you should be angry with salary. I'm a salary earner too. If you are paid 50,000 naira 10 years ago, and you are paid 100,000 naira now, the money has increased, but the soul of money has gone down. If you are paid 20,000 naira now, it's as though you are paid 500 naira 10 years ago. Am I at home? You are looking at me as though I'm on external administration. I'm still spiritual. Don't worry. I'm still spiritual. Just calm down. If all you know is falling down, you will be tired one day. We had IGAC here. We spent close to 2 million naira. Did I come to your house to knock? If you don't understand money, you cannot be a blessing to people. If you are glued with paper, you may be shocked. One day, God forbid, you may not be able to eat a good meal. I don't know. I don't eat so much outside. But if you want to eat a good meal, can this be okay? Can this be okay now? But there was a time you and your friend, you would go and sit and say anything, order anything. And what the strength for which you are saying that is because you have 500 naira in your pocket. I will never forget. Long time ago, I was a child. This morning, you know, came out then. I think it was 1990 something or 2000 and something. I stole one of it from a neighbor who was a trader. He called me to come and count money. I was not born again then. Not me. Not this one. Don't look at me with that corner eye. Do you know that I regretted stealing that money? Guess why? I bought everything I know to buy. The money did not finish. As a young boy, what can I buy? Guguru, epa. There was Boss High School those days. There was somebody who sell jollof rice. The one they would sell in nylon. You'll be pressing it out. You'll buy jollof. I bought everything. The money was not finishing. And you know I must not spend it at home. So that day, my plan was to spend it and finish the money before I get back home. I stayed at 7 o'clock in the evening. I went to play Mario game. The money did not finish. Mario game then was 500 naira. I played game till after 8. My people were annoyed. They were looking for me. They thought I was missing. I was trying to finish this money, but it did not finish. Will it take me 1 minute to spend this one now? The same money, oh. So if this is all you chase, you are really not valuable. Ladies, if you allow a guy just dangle this before you and you throw your body, you are really cheap. I tell my customers many times, I said the rich are not the people that carry paper around. If you carry money to the bank, you may be considered rich, but you are not very rich. The real money in economy flies through the wire. You don't see them. As we are standing here now, you don't know how many hundreds of billions of naira transactions have been consummated. Look away from PayPal. How can I turn the soul of this thing to chase after me? Because if money is a spirit and money has a soul, that means I can make this soul angry and I can make the soul happy. I can draw this soul so that when I say go away, he will say no, I'm not going. I'm going to stop here tonight. I've said so much and I don't want to give you so much. I've said so much already. I want you to go and think. When people give you this, when people give you, apologies, please. When people give you this, they give you money. But you know that eventually you don't need this. Is this what you need? No. What you need is what this can do. Is that true? What you need is what this can do. So if you and I are standing by a restaurant and we order and they said, how much is your bill? And you say 500 naira. If you put your hand in your pocket and give them this, they will give you what you have bought, right? But if instead of putting my hand in my pocket, if I bring out my phone and go to my mobile banking and transfer 500 naira to them, will they give me what I have ordered for? Did I give them paper? So what I need is not the paper. What I need is what the soul of that paper can do. Don't worry, we'll start next week with why do we need financial wealth? I promise to take it slowly.
for those who are interested to catch up and get it. Rise up, let's pray. Thank you. You know what the knowledge of the spirit of money will do to you? It will let you know that if you are going to be in control of the spirit of money, number one, you have to be in connected with the Father of all spirits. Father of what? And one of the spirits he controls is Mammon. That's number one. Money is spiritual, and money can be taken charged off from the realm of the spirit. Is somebody with me now? Number two, for the soul. Why did I go about teaching you about the spirit and the soul of money? You have known about the spirit of money. Number two, the soul of money is necessary for you to understand, so that when you are planning, whatever you are planning to do, you don't think local, you think global. Especially in an economy like Nigeria, where the soul of our naira is very weak. Imagine you are a teacher and you teach one student for $100, and you do virtual training. Maybe you teach French or you teach mathematics and you do it virtually, and you do one student per week for $100, and another person is doing one student physically per week for 10,000 naira. Which person earns more? Who earns more? You may not know it. $100 now is equal to 750 naira. $100. $100 is equal to 75,000. 75. May I not get to that level? I know, in Jesus' name. It equals to 75. Now, between the person who earns 75 and the person who earns 10K, they will pay you $100 by just, if you do like $100, not level for me, but go and share 50,000 naira. So, I'm teaching you the reality of the soul of money, so that you stop thinking locally. If it is low-cost beast you are selling, find a market for it where the soul of their money is high. We are getting there. I will teach you that. If it is shoe you are making, find a market for it. Now that you are saturated, pray that God will give you an open door where they can give you £100, and you can tell that, you know, I'm not telling for people who buy naira again. I get the market. This is not only by prayer, even though there is a prayer aspect of it. We will do the prayer aspect of it. When we get to next week, I will not spare you. I will look at some of you in your faces and tell you how much you have wasted time. At 8:30, somebody is still kicking cookie for you to eat. Free meal is still available. That's why you are not wise. That is the witch sitting on your destiny. Hunger is a gift that helps men find its potential. Every man that is skillful and is doing something in their world, they will tell you one day, when hunger wire me, I can't think, see, I have to start this thing. I'm tired of believers who are weak economically. They have visions, but they don't have the means of actualizing the visions. No. So we're going to start much early next week, so that we can really touch it. I would like that we really wrap up next week, if God will allow us. Yet there is a lot to still do. There is a lot to still do next week. But as God bless you tonight, as God bless you tonight, one prayer you are going to pray: Lord, I choose you, and I know that in you, you will give me access to this kingdom world. There is no point choosing Mammon. I choose you. I choose you. Go ahead and pray. Close your eyes and pray. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. Oh Lord, I choose you. Every mindset and ideologies in my heart against kingdom prosperity, let them be pulled down. I choose God. I choose his wealth. I choose his prosperity. I choose him. I choose you, Lord. I choose you. I choose you. I choose your wealth. I choose your prosperity. I choose your wealth. I choose your increase. I choose your abundance. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you, oh Lord. I choose you. Shala Breskovel under Kabiras. In you is my wealth. In you is my prosperity. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, yet he became poor that I may be rich. I know the grace of God, that riches is in him for me. The way of the Lord, for the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. I will be rich the God way. I will be prosperous the God's way. I will be made the custodian of kingdom prosperity. For the purpose of the kingdom, I will not go the way of the world. For the ways of the Lord is the way of riches. I choose the way of the Lord. For the ways of the Lord is the way of riches. I choose the way of the Lord. I choose the way of the Lord. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of riches. I choose the way. Your Father in heaven is rich, and he has ordained that you also should be rich. During the course of this teaching, I will teach us the secret of Jewish prosperity. Go and search online, go and search on Google, you will discover that richest people on the earth are the Jewish people or those who are connected to them. There is a mystery behind them. One of the secrets is, a Jewish man has been taught that it's better to be a owner than to be a worker. It's a law. That as you are raising your child as a Jewish person, you must teach them to own. That means to own a business, to start something, rather than looking out to be an employee somewhere. Another very deep thing about them is that if you cannot give, you will not have. I will teach you that. I'm just giving you a tips. I have a complete part for that. It's part of this assignment. But we need to touch on this background and know what money is. What is this? What is the foundation? What is the purpose? In fact, I would even why riches? Why does God want us rich? Now we have established that God wants us rich. Why does he want us rich? Time did not permit me. I would have taken you through to it tonight. Why does he want us rich? I don't think there is anybody in this place now who will go home arguing if God wants us rich. If anything ever suggests to you that God does not want us rich, it's the voice of the devil. I've shown you four scriptures that confirm to you that God does not only want you rich, He has paid the price for your riches. Lift up your right hand. So, in the name of Jesus, tonight I confess that I'm the heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Everything Christ died for belongs to me. He was slain for my riches. He was slain for my prosperity. On this account, I reject poverty and its mentality. I reject poverty and its mentality. I was destined to live in wealth, to use money. And use so from tonight I choose God, and in my God I choose prosperity. Say it again. From tonight I choose God, and in my God I choose prosperity. And I vow to use my wealth to serve my God. I will never use my God to serve my wealth. I will use my wealth to serve my God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are in the house and you are not born again, everything we have said does not belong to you. I don't deceive people. I will tell you the truth. Kingdom wealth is for believers. And so the first thing to do is to receive salvation. And I'm going to lead you right away, even into salvation right now. If you would put your hands on your chest and close your eyes, and make this declaration after me. Even if you are born again at the time, and you want to reconnect back to Him, it's a good time to do so. Either online, please stop every activities now. Stop every move around now. This is the most important aspect of this message, of this whole service today, please. Online, on ground, you want to reconnect to God. Please, let's make it a point of contact, a point of note and duty now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I declare tonight that my heart belongs to you. You died for my sin. On the third day, God raised you up. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Be in charge of my life from this day forward, in Jesus' name. I'm a child of God. I am born again forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have done so.
Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
We believe that you've been greatly imparted. To get more updates about the movement and to download our messages, visit www.ariseshinechristiannetwork.com.
Also, you can join us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and MixLR at ArriseSCM.
Or you can also reach us on WhatsApp or call us on 0705314-5157. Keep shining.
Yeah. Jesus.